All right, guys, happy Thursday. Let's have an easy Thursday. Nothing too aggressive today, except for the fact that yoga pants are ruining Western civilization. Nope, that brings me to the question of the day, which is why do women wear yoga pants everywhere? I have some things that I want to say about that. Plus, later on, we're going to discuss the morning after pill, which is now being sold via vending machines at George Washington University. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. Yoga pants, they are everywhere. And you know what? A lot of people at the Daily Wire have opinions about yoga pants. First and foremost, Jeremy Boring, the co-CEO, says that women just should not wear yoga pants. And then Ben Shapiro had this to say earlier today on his show about yoga pants. Take a listen.
I made this case to my friend Ali Beth Stuckey, who's like, yeah, yoga pants are fine. Yeah, women can wear yoga pants, but don't be surprised when men stare at you because it hugs your ass. That's just the reality. And when I say stare, it doesn't mean the men should gawk at you. But if a man takes an occasional glance at the fact that you have a spray-painted ass, that is not a shock. That is not sexism. That is basic human biology.
I think that's a very fair point that Ben just made. Absolutely. Well, we do know that yoga pants are sexier and that men will look at you if you are wearing them. I think people should expect that that does happen from time to time, probably all the time, if men see a young woman in yoga pants and it's hugging her hips and it's hugging her butt. Now, that's not the reason that I wanted to have this topic today. This is not the reason why I wanted to discuss this with you guys. I actually have an entirely different take, and I'll tell you how it began. It began because I went to a diner a couple of weekends ago, and I was looking up at a photo. It's an old diner in Tennessee, and I saw a man that was working in the field, and it looked to be dated, I don't know, I'm making up a date, let's say 1912 in Tennessee. Maybe it was even earlier. Maybe it was the 1800s in Tennessee. And the guy who's working in a field is this black and white image, super impressive, because he was wearing essentially what I'm wearing right now. He was wearing suspenders. He was dressed so well. And I thought, wow, I crave that time. You guys know secretly I'm a bit of a grandma, right? I'm like, I miss the olden days that I didn't even live through. And then there was this stark contrast, because after going to breakfast with my husband and seeing this photo, I then picked up my toddler and we took him to the park. And suddenly I looked around and I realized that every single woman was wearing yoga pants, different variations of yoga pants with a sweatshirt, yoga pants with their jacket on, yoga pants with a t-shirt. I mean, just so many variations of women that were wearing yoga pants. And I went, why is everyone wearing yoga pants? And I'm not talking about just left a workout, just left Pilates, running errands, and I'm just going to wear my yoga pants to the park. I'm talking about these women made a conscious decision to wake up and to choose violence. Violence being that they grabbed yoga pants and they put them on as if it was an outfit that was appropriate to wear out the door. Now, I want to be very careful here and tell you guys that I'm a hypocrite, okay? I was this woman for a very long time, probably up until 2 weeks ago, honestly. I just want to be honest because someone's going to dig it out and they're going to be like, oh, I met Candace at an airport a couple of years ago and she was wearing yoga pants. And they would be right, okay? I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite. But something has transformed in my mind where I've realized that this is ridiculous. Why are we wearing these yoga pants? When did this trend start? I thought about that. I thought about the history of when we just started putting on Lululemons and going everywhere, like it was completely casual and normal to wear this as a staple. And it kind of begins, if you think about it, for me at least, became very trendy American apparel, spandex, right? Everything was spandex. And then they had the high-waisted spandex and they kind of made it cool to wear spandex everywhere. And I think that they kind of started this trend. Somebody also mentioned to me that it was Victoria's Secret. Remember the trend, ladies? The fold-down Victoria's Secret spandex pants. And they made your butt look cute. But people were not wearing spandex every day when I was in high school. So it kind of took place, I would say, when I got to college, American Apparel. And then we just never let go of this trend and we wear them everywhere. And when I asked people, because obviously, well, like I said, all of us, the women that around the Daily Wire, I asked some family members, why do you wear spandex? Why are you wearing yoga pants as if it's a pair of jeans? And the number one response that I got was, well, it's comfortable, right? Or it's like, it's quick. And it's quick is not really a good excuse. It takes just as much time to put on a pair of jeans, to put on a pair of pants as it takes to put on yoga pants. So that psychology doesn't make sense to me. Comfort, okay, I get it. You can also find a very comfortable pair of loose-fitting jeans. You're not required to wear jeans that are super tight, right? So there's an element of it, though. If you play with kids a lot, maybe your job is you're a nanny, and you're like, well, this is just easier to be in spandex because, I don't know, I feel more flexible in it, I think. And then I think there's an element of some women who wear them because it makes them feel like they're fit. Like, oh, I'm wearing spandex. That means that I go to yoga in the morning, and that might be a reason. But all of this to say that it doesn't really matter because I think we should stop doing it. That's what I think. I am the first one to bite the bullet. I think that we should stop wearing yoga pants everywhere. And I have committed myself also on my list of things that I'm going to get to this year to not being that weekend mom that throws on a pair of yoga pants. And I started just putting on a pair of jeans, a pair of comfortable jeans, very comfortable jeans, very loose fitting jeans. But at least it shows that I made an effort. I put on a jeans, I put on a sweater. You can still wear your sneakers and you're still super comfortable, but you're not a part of this yoga culture. And the reason for that, by the way, I was eventually going to get here, right? Because I've spoken in the past about when I look around and I see where our society is and how little of an effort we make when it comes to everything. We have relaxed everything, right? When we call it progress, but really I think it's regress. I don't think that it's progress to not care anymore. I look at the way that we dress our children in America. When you see these toddlers and they're wearing their sweatpants, I've talked about this in the past, right? Everyone's toddler looks like they're going to the gym. Why? Because it's easy. I want them to be comfortable. Well, I think that you teach your children how to dress and how to present themselves very early on, right? My child is not running around wearing sweatpants. I make an effort to dress in like a little mini George, just like my husband. And when you see overseas culture, when you see people in London or in the UK or elsewhere in Europe, and you see that they make a little bit more of an effort, you realize that we've lost something. And I do believe that it starts with just a mindset and that there are little things that we can do to transform our mindset. And if we practice beauty on an individual level, we will begin to see beauty on an outward external level. Right? It starts with you. It starts with at home. Anyways, all of this to say, I'm a massive hypocrite, but please, guys, just this weekend, humor me, ladies, and put on a pair of jeans. And that's all I'm asking about that. There is no better time than right now to start building a habit of prayer. Just like physical exercise, daily spiritual exercise is critical to your well-being, especially in a world where attacks on faith and religion are happening all around us every day. If we're going to keep fighting the good fight against these crazy leftist ideologies, we'll need a strong foundation that's rooted in faith. Hallel, the number one Christian prayer app in the United States, helps you maintain a daily prayer routine, and it can help you too. Download the app for free at hallow.com/Candace. You can set prayer reminders, invite others to pray with you, and track your progress along the way. Not sure where to start? Check out Father Mike Schmitz's Bible in a Year, available on the Hallow app for brief daily Bible readings and reflections. Make this year your year for spiritual growth and peace. Get an exclusive 3-month free trial at hallow.com/Candace. That's hallow.com/Candace. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. So no good deed goes unpunished. We know that. I mean, yesterday I told you that people were angry at me for organizing my pantry. I thought I was very proud of myself and I wanted to share on Instagram and people were upset. I don't know. People just cannot see other people doing good things in their lives. I think because it holds up a mirror to them and they think, why am I not doing that good thing? Well, here's an example that is currently being debated and it's being debated on two levels. The first thing is there is a young man, he goes by Mr. Beast on YouTube. His real name is Jimmy Donaldson. He's 24 years old and he does some wonderful charitable work. There's no debate here, right? What he's doing is wonderful. He rebuilds homes for people that have survived tornadoes. But I think the biggest thing that he does is he pays for people to get a 10-minute eye procedure, people that can't see, that suddenly are able to see because he donates the money. So let me just show you a clip of what he actually does.
And this video, we're curing 1,000 people's blindness. It's gonna be crazy.
Most of us see the world like this. But here's the thing, 200 million people see the world like this. But I just made it one less.
Oh. Wow.
She's just one of 1,000 blind people we help from around the world.
They can't see.
but we have all the technology to fix it.
Yep, half of all the blindness in the world is people who need a 10-minute surgery.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'll see everybody.
Oh, I can see clearer. I can jump for joy.
I can see your face, I can see your face, I can see your face.
If you're wondering how the surgery allows people to see again, it's because the lens in their eye got so cloudy that they can't see through it. So the surgeon uses a tiny vacuum to suck up the clouded lens.
Whoa, it's sucking.
And replace it with an artificial one. The surgery is that simple. They can see again.
I mean, that's so wonderful. You can't see that and not just go, wow, that is amazing. And then you think a 10-minute procedure and you would cure half of the blindness in the world and people crying because they can see again or see for the first time. It's a feel-good story until you hand it to the internet and people problematize it because that's what the internet does. There's just always something that they have to say. And what they have offered to this young man who is doing such great work is, why do you publicize it? Why don't you just do it and not tell anybody? Why on earth do you feel the need to tell people that you are curing the eyesight of so many individuals? That somehow makes you a bad person, to which Mr. Beast has replied on Twitter. He wrote this, Twitter, rich people should help others with their money. Me. Okay, I'll use my money to help people, and I promise to give away all my money before I die, every single penny. Twitter. Mr. Beast bad. That is so true. For some reason, people don't like this. And this gets back to the debate regarding altruism. And I'm going to tell you my stance on it, right? Can people be 100% altruistic? My perspective is the answer is no to that. I think even when we do good because it makes us feel good, which means that there's a component of it that is about you. So I'll give you an example. I am super passionate, you know, when I speak about human sex trafficking and the porn industry and how the porn industry is feeding the human sex trafficking industry. And so in my personal capacity, I give a lot of money to Operation Underground, right? I also hosted their gala. And I do this because it makes me feel good to know that I'm not just talking about a problem, but I'm actually helping to solve that problem by donating my money. I also similarly give to Project Veritas. I think they do amazing work. So in a personal capacity, I write checks to them. And it feels good. And I want people to know that I do it. I want people to know that I do it. I wanted people to know that I organized my pantry, right? I could have just organized my pantry and left it alone. But no, I wanted people to see how productive I was, how beautiful it looked, and hopefully in the process, inspire other people and say, you can do this too. So that is what Mr. Beast is doing. He is doing something that is good because it makes him feel good. And he is sharing that goodness because even letting people know it, that's a normal human thing, right? Wanting people to know, hey, look, I'm doing something good and you're doing something, and you also have within you the capacity to do something good as well. It should be allowed. I think that's okay. If you're doing charity, it's okay if you want to also shout that you are doing charity. There's nothing problematic about it. I think it's natural human instinct, right? And so there's no reason for people to be upset about this. On another level, though, this has been considered controversial, or maybe not controversial, but it has shed a light for some people on the fact that we have so much money taken away from us from the government, and that money is sent for a variety of different reasons, none of them which seem to actually benefit us, right? We look around, our cities are a mess, we have people in America that are starving, we have people that in America that are drug addicts, and yet we are being taxed and sending money overseas. So there is another content creator, he is a Twitch streamer who goes by the name Hassan Piker, who watched Mr. Beast's videos, and he felt enraged by the idea that our tax dollars were perhaps not going to solve problems like this, some real problems like blindness. Take a listen to Hassan Piker in his own words.
You watch the video, you go, oh, how cute and how nice. I watch the video and I'm filled with rage.
What's wrong with you?
That we shut off access to a 10-minute procedure because we paywalled it and decided that like some people just simply can't get it. It is so insanely frustrating it's up to like one YouTube guy to like decide to make content out of it that people who are too poor can't just see. That's insane. Anyway, sorry. It's just like a deeply, deeply frustrating concept.
So he's right to be frustrated, but he's also wrong because there is a larger economic argument that he's missing. Tim Pool actually backed up Hassan Piker. He tweeted this. He wrote, Hassan is 100% right. Stop funding war in Ukraine and help people live better. What is wrong with Tim Pool's tweet and what is wrong with what Hassan Piker was saying is that it creates a false dichotomy. So again, Tim Pool and Hassan Piker are both right in their sentiment, but wrong in their conclusions. And here is something that I learned by studying Milton Friedman. This is just really a behavioral analysis, right? Economics, it inspires our behavior, right? It is true that if you study the history of economics in this country and around the world, that when governments pull back on taxing individuals, right, when they decrease taxes, instead of them deciding where our money should be sent, they just say, we're actually not going to tax you. You decide what you're going to do with your own money. Individuals become more charitable, right? So when you are not being arbitrarily taxed by the government, you have more money in your bank account, what it actually inspires you to do is not hoard your cash, but to give more to things that you care about. You go, oh, I have an extra cushion. I am taken care of. My savings accounts looks good. What am I going to do with this extra money? I'm going to give this money away. And then in your own capacity, you can determine what you're passionate about. As I said, for me, sex trafficking, understanding, wanting to help sex trafficking victims, wanting to help Project Veritas to expose the government for its corruption. This is what I want to give to. I'm also, by the way, very interested in helping people get braces. So I've said to my husband, I would like to do that. I think that we should pick a couple of people every year and fix their smile because I have a personal childhood story about how bad my teeth were and then they were fixed. And I think that it really transforms your life and it transforms your confidence to have straight teeth, right? You will make those decisions if you don't feel like you're barely getting by, right? So it is not that it is a false economy and that we should say, we're okay with being taxed, right? But we are frustrated by what we are being taxed for. No, it should be, you know what? You are taking too much in our tax dollars. We would have more of a capacity to give. We don't need the government. And this is actually what Mr. Beast is proving. You don't need the government to tell you how to do good. Right? You need to be inspired. This is why it is totally okay that he's putting these videos on the internet. It makes other people want to do good because they're now learning how easy it is, right? So rather, Hassan Piker, take a look at this and go, okay, if he's doing that, I'm making money too. What can I do on a certain level? And Tim Pool, you know, he's making money. He's got a very successful show, should say, what can I do on a personal level? And all of us should say, we would be able to do and understand that we would be able to do a lot more if the government got out of our pockets. Again, that is a behavioral and economic analysis. And you can see that that is exactly what has happened in this country. Individuals gave much more when the governments, and to more of a variety of causes, when the governments got out of their wallets. Moving on, you guys. I think we got to cover this YouTuber who made a rebuttal video to me. So you recall, I believe it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but I was covering this trend of YouTubers that are eating for clicks, right? YouTubers and TikTokers who are eating for clicks. One guy actually ate himself to death. He is now dead. And another person who is still alive essentially just puts, I can't even calculate the amount of calories that he has on his plate. And he just eats, right? He just eats and eats and eats. And people consume this content. I don't know why. They're watching a man commit suicide slowly. That is the truth. Well, I cover this on my show because I'm very interested in the psychology of clicks, the psychology of social media, and how it's making people do more and more bizarre things for attention. You know, we talked yesterday about the girl who faked cancer on TikTok for views, allegedly. I mean, she's been charged. We can't say for sure that she will be convicted, but the doctors pretty much called BS on her entire storyline. This YouTuber actually made, the gluttonous one, made a rebuttal video to me, and it is glorious, my friends. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
You're a political commentary channel. What do I have to do with your world? Nada. Is your channel suffering that much? Have you run things out of things to talk about? That you have to talk about me and my life? And I'm not actually. I'm thriving. And you can't say otherwise. And I'm not gluttonous. I barely eat that much. And there's actually not that much here today. And she's not even saying truthful things.
Everything under the sun and a bunch of calories for profit, right?
How do you know if I have depression or not? Do you just look at someone and be like, wow, you might eat a lot of food, so therefore you have this, 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 and this.
So becoming depressed in front of the world, he's essentially killing himself on camera slowly.
I don't even understand. If people were getting booted for spreading things that weren't verified, that's YouTube's policy. Now, did you verify if I eat 10,000 calories a day? No. Did you verify if I have depression? No. Did you verify if I'm crazy? No.
10,000 calories in front of the camera and look at
him. No, I don't.
In front of so much McDonald's, I can't even explain to you if you're not one.
Yeah, quite the rebuttal there, making entirely no sense. I don't know if he's doing that for funsies, but asking us if we verified whether you ate 10,000 plus calories, you just admitted you did. You said you did it for special occasions, whatever that means. And we watched those videos of you actually doing that in one sitting, consuming 10,000 calories. Did we verify if you're crazy? I think that that can be pretty much confirmed if you're willing to sit in front of a camera and consume 10,000 calories for clicks. Have we verified whether or not you're depressed? Well, I can say that if you're eating that kind of food day in and day out and you're doing it because you want to achieve some level of fame, we can probably assume that at the very least you are suffering from some sort of internal sadness. You can't be happy eating like that every single day. And while you may have people that are cheering you and saying, go more, these people that have bizarre fetishes, I guess the fetish would be watching people commit suicide slowly, I am going to be a kind individual and tell you that you need to stop and that you can get that same sort of attention from being healthy, right? You could actually now say, change my mind, just like you changed your mind from being vegan and then you decided that you were going to go the other way and indulge yourself. You can change your mind again and say, I am going to be the fittest person ever. And you can make videos of you on the treadmill and walking slowly until you can start to run, until you can sprint, right? We want to see that journey. I love before and after, right? You are at the before, and I don't want you to die. People that are following you, they do want you to die. They are commenting and encouraging you and pretending that it's entertaining. It's not entertaining. These are dark, sinister people. I'm not in that camp. And I want you to know that the reason why I comment on this is because there is an undertone to politics, of course, what we are talking about in terms of the psychology of individuals that are being raised up online on social media, what ends up happening is it informs policies that we have, right? And Hollywood is attached to politics. What we see happening on social media, people that are creating and finding stardom on TikTok and on YouTube for these sorts of behavior will eventually be attached to politics. And so we have to always comment on culture. I consider what you are doing to be something that is cancerous in our culture. As I said in my earlier video, obesity is and has always been the number one killer in this country. And I want you to get the help that you need. So consider me a friend for telling you that, even though we don't speak privately and we just send each other videos back and forth like a little YouTube rap battle. All right, I want to take a moment to talk to you guys about ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is safe, but how do you know for sure that no one is going through your personal items? When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website that you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use it to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, so ISPs cannot see your online activity. Your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. I love ExpressVPN because it's incredibly easy to use. You just fire up the app and you click one button. Plus, it works on all of my devices, my phone, my laptop, even my Wi-Fi router. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Candace today. That's expressvpn.com/Candace and get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Candace. Moving on, you guys, to something that's important for you to know. I was very surprised to see this pertaining to George Washington University. College students can now access the morning after pills using a vending machine in the student center. Boy, have times changed. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love the vending machine. I still do, by the way. I don't know why I'm saying since I was a kid. I love to see a vending machine. I like to see what the options are. And when I was a kid, it was like, can I get a Snicker bar? And it's not good for you. You know, it's not good for people. Who cares? You're having fun. It's a vending machine. Can I get Funyuns? Can I get a Pop-Tart? When you were like, whoa, wow, they're really picking it up. And now they have sandwiches. And you're going, wow, you can really vend. You can really get onto the vending machine game and get all sorts of treats from there. Never in a million years did I think that they would be offering children the morning after pill at the student center, that this would even be an option. Didn't practice safe sex? Here you go. Here's a morning after pill. So why are they doing this? Why did they do this? Well, the student government of GWU called for the project after Roe v. Wade was overturned last summer. So they said, what? We no longer have a federal protection to be able to rip children out of our wombs whenever we want. Well, we're going to show you, and instead we're going to put vending machines that are filled with Plan B in the student center because power or something like that. And it's, of course, an effort that was led by a young woman named Aiza Saeed and another young woman named Naharika Rao and other fellow student government leaders. And I just think it's just sad. It's just such a sad commentary. And I speak often about how the one thing that the education system has been incredibly successful at is removing women from their intuitions, removing women from their instincts, removing women from this natural instinct to protect children, right? To want children, to aspire to family. It has been a very sinister effort that has come under the guise of feminism, under third wave feminism, second and third wave feminism. And what's really happened is the consequence of that are women that are now saying, put the Plan B machines on the college university's campuses and make sure that they're in the student center so we have access to it, which is so awful. I mean, just imagine going up to that vending machine. Have we no shame? Have we no shame, right? I want everybody in this room to know that I had unprotected sex last night and I feel empowered because I'm going to walk up to this machine and I'm going to get Plan B one step. And if you don't see how empowered I am for doing that, yeah, whatever. Casual sex, unprotected, my body, my choice. It's disgusting. It is. It's disgusting. These women should be ashamed that this is a part of their record. And I hope that one day they do feel that shame. I hope that when they're dating and you do that cursory Google search, people that you're dating, we all do it now. It's like, oh, let me see if there's anything about this guy. Well, we all do that except for, of course, Meghan Markle. She had no idea who Prince Harry was or who Princess Diana was. The rest of us, normal people, we Google individuals. And this is what's going to come up for these two young women. That they led an effort to put Plan B one step on campus. And what are men going to think about these women? Probably that they're gross. Not that they're empowered, that they're pretty gross. That they would want this. You'd probably wondering how often they've used it. Probably wondering how much casual sex they were having. I mean, is this the girl you want to bring home to mom? Do you want to bring home Aiza Saeed and Naharika Rao to mom? And mom's going to go, why was she doing that? What is she up to? Again, have we no shame? The answer to that question seems to always be nope. We keep unlocking another basement to how low society will go. Which brings me to the next topic, guys. This is unbelievable. Just kidding. It's very believable if you've been listening to this podcast because I have been telling you guys, I think it was episode one or two, that we talked about Pornhub and we talked about this increase and Pornhub feeding people with incest material. So an increase in the searches for incest and Pornhub feeding people that material. Not sure what came first, the chicken or the egg. I tend to think the chicken. I think that Pornhub is trying to foster these sorts of ideals. And you're starting to see people sort of waging this debate as well. What's really wrong with asking the question, well, what's really so bad about incest, right? Well, it's going mainstream, you guys, because there is a show and it is called MILF Manor. Now, what happens on this show? Well, I'll tell you. MILF Manor features eight single moms that are in their 40s and 50s, hence MILF. And they are going on this dating show to meet men that are in their 20s and their 30s. You're thinking, well, that's not too bad, Candace. It's all right. You like a younger man. There's nothing wrong with that explicitly. Except on the first episode, what they really find out is that the men that they're choosing from are their sons. Not saying that all of them are their sons. There's one MILF and there's one son that is in the pack, right? So you are on this dating show with your son. Absolutely bizarre. Now, I will say this. Both the left and the right are condemning this. I guess there is such a thing as too low for even the left. And they're going, okay, this is very weird. And I want you to listen to a clip of this show because you should know that it exists. And you should know that people sat down and said, let's definitely make this show happen. It's not weird at all. This is a clip of a woman who's going to have to feel up her son, just the pecs, to see if she can find out who he is when she's blindfolded. Take a listen.
The moms get a blindfold and you have to go up and touch all of the young men and figure out by touching their chests and abs and shoulders, which one is their son. The two moms that figure out who their son is the quickest win the best sweets in the whole house. So the competition is on.
I need you guys to help me find my son if you want to hang out with me tonight.
Oh my God.
If you want to vomit, it's totally okay. You can take a second right now and vomit. I'll give you 5 seconds to do that. Okay. You got it out of your system. I got it out of my system. I think we are back and we can discuss this. I mean, what is this storyline? What, Xanax and wine? What happens when you've had too much Xanax and wine? I mean, the idea that this woman is on here, like, and this is what we have to do, and the competition is on so we can see who gets the biggest suite. Oh, so you're going to feel up and determine which one of these individuals is your son so that you can sleep in a bigger room. So you're saying, I'd be like, actually, I'll take the smallest room. I'm good. I don't want to win this competition. It's weird. Not these moms. Mm-mm. Popping Xanax and drinking wine vibes, right? Who cares? It's whatever. It's going to be a nice big suite that we have. Have we no shame, America? What is going on in this society? I can't even, the amount of people that this show concept would have had to go through. You know what I mean? Like the amount of people from the person who's like, hey, I have an idea. And they like talk to their friend in bed and it's like, should I pitch that to the execs? And then their friend said, yeah, do it. And they went in and talked to the execs and the execs said, yeah, no, that's a really good concept for a show. Greenlighting it, then being able to cast it, which is remarkable. I mean, allegedly these women didn't find out until the first day that it was going to be their sons, but none of these women packed their bags and left. So they don't care. So the producers had some idea that these women would do this. And they had some idea that their sons would do this. And I think that they probably knew the entire time, right? Because you probably speak to your son once in a blue moon. You probably knew he was also going on a reality show. But all of it's supposed to be fun and games because this is what TLC wants people to see. They, I guess, are, I don't know what business they're in. They're in the business of incest now, which is sad. It's a sad departure from what TLC used to be about, which wasn't even great anyways. Octomom. John and Kate plus 8. I don't know if it's even really a departure, but it is a commentary on the state of things in America, ladies and gentlemen. And that's all I have to say about that. All right, guys, the next portion of the show is going to be available exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. I'm going to read your comments and answer your questions and play a round of Am I the A-hole? So if you're not a member yet, go ahead and click the link in the description and subscribe right now.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.